Hello, Kathleen Ann here, and welcome back to SOS Simplicity of Soul. This is the fourth podcast in the SOS series, and today I am excited to discuss the evolution of soul thinking. And I want to talk about how we, as a species, have evolved so far that we are not only ready for, but need to employ soul thinking to create the world of beauty and wonder and success that fills our dreams. Now, soul thinking is not new. The term is. And I use the term soul thinking because, as I described in previous podcasts, I experienced my encounter with that incredible being all those years ago through my soul. My body stayed in place and my soul took flight. And I learned simply and immediately on that amazing adventure that my soul is physically real and the answer to everything lay in seeing the world through the eyes of my soul. Or in other words, through the eyes of love. You know, history's greatest spiritual teachers and today's spiritual teachers employed and continue to employ soul thinking in their approach to the world. The only difference I want to emphasize is that the soul is not a passive concept, but a powerful tool through which we are meant to achieve our dreams now. Imagine your body as the car your soul drives. Currently, most of the world functions on two levels, ego and intellect, which means our bodies, or the actions we take, are driven by either the ego or the intellect, or a combination of both. What I learned is that thinking from the soul completes the perfect trilateral use of intellect, ego, and soul, which is required to contribute to the world we were born to create. The missing link to humanity's success is already within us. Simply by adding the soul as a barometer in ego and intellect decision-making creates the complete vehicle for human perfection. This statement may sound simplistic, but I want you to think about it. Once we truly understand our soul's purpose for use in our lives, the puzzle pieces to enhancing so many economic, societal, and ecological concerns fits into place. Viewing life through the eyes of love does not make one weak, submissive, or unable to function powerfully in business or society. On the contrary, conducting life through soul thinking means that decisions come from courage, wisdom, and clear vision, which replace ego-based motives such as fear, greed, and/or a need to win at someone else's expense. Conducting life with courage, wisdom, and compassion generates intellect, satisfaction, and prosperity to whatever degree a person desires. Success is good. We all know that. Profit is good. We all know that. A bountiful earth is good, and we all need that. The difference between success and profit earned with most of today's business models and success and profit earned through soul thinking is that through soul thinking, everyone prospers and no one loses, including the planet. Now, my husband Michael and I own a cigar bar in Vero Beach. And cigar smokers are a rare breed. And the majority of our customers and friends are accomplished entrepreneurs who enjoy thought-provoking and empowering conversation. And needless to say, I really love the crowd that comes into our shop. But I have to say, I was fascinated by my friends' reactions when I suggested soul thinking as a missing link to the successful, healthy, and continuous enterprise of our economy. These men adamantly declared that my suggestion was utopian and unachievable, and they claimed that the survival instinct ingrained in our basic human nature generates greed and competition to win at all costs. They insisted that humanity is wired to compete to the finish, and the world community will never gain enough trust among people to accept a co-creative environment. While I expected such a reply, because of the way that current world thinking is wired, I was surprised that they didn't even consider the possibility. Because, you know, they, and I can imagine many politicians, educators, and leaders of industry, would say the same thing with as much emotion as these men. because carried throughout history, most of today's businesses, centers for learning, and political agendas achieve results through ego-driven models for success. Driven by fear of lack, or ultimately an unconscious fear of death, success is gained by outthinking, outmaneuvering, and conquering the competition. Winning at all costs, and even changing laws and rules to accomplish these goals, supersedes conscientious decision-making. You know, when you think about it, competitive achievement taps that primal thrill of the hunt, and that is heady and stimulating. And even if the outcome is productive and or profitable, any fear-based, ego-driven success earned at the expense of someone or something else, like the destruction of a competing business or polluting the environment, is not sustainable. Under this model, success erodes over time. And we are witnessing these effects today, economically, socially, and environmentally. How can we change this approach? Well, you know, I like to say, like weeds in a garden, the source needs to be dug out by the roots so the rest of that beautiful garden can grow. Humanity's roots in history are based in two major precepts: creationism, the belief that God created man in his image, or Darwinism, which is the belief that man evolved as a species. Now, neither of these views considers the soul as an integrated tool in the human fabric. And I want to address how soul thinking applied to these two current views on man's beginnings, because today we can't even agree on which one's right. So if I were to apply soul thinking to each of these points of view, I could show how we can drastically change man's future. I'll show you how. Regarding creationism, what if our erroneous approach to success is rooted in the spiritual story of Adam and Eve? Could it be that competitive achievement began with Adam and Eve believing that they were driven from the Garden of Eden because they fell from God's esteem? If this religious story describing the fall of man is taken as truth, then I say yes indeed, accepting the fear-based thinking that Adam and Eve fell from grace and were driven from Eden is absolutely mistaken, ego-created thought. Why do I say this? Because from my soul encounter with that being whom I described in previous podcasts, I am convinced God would never have a negative or punitive reaction to anything he creates. God is absolute and complete love, and love only creates perfection. Love cannot comprehend negativity. And most importantly, and this is the most important fact about love, love honors free will. From my soul-based insights, I truly believe that Adam and Eve never departed Eden. I suggest our first parents remained in Eden, but were blinded to that fact because they chose to abandon their soul connection to God or creation in favor of accepting the doubts and questions generated by their awakening ego. I submit that the tree of knowledge is symbolic for requiring proof instead of living by trust. And I suggest that the serpent which enticed Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge was actually the awakening ego. The ego, this new and powerful tool ingrained in man's being, became too overwhelming for Adam and Eve to control. Trust in God seemed too fragile to accept because suddenly so many questions and fears seemed impossible to answer and appeared greater than that simple concept of trust without proof. Adam and Eve cut their connection to God and creation by losing their trust and accepting fear. God didn't punish them. Once they accepted the fruit, or in other words, the doubts plaguing them, their egos claimed they deserved to be punished, and they believed it with all the fears and doubts that the ego generated. An analogy I use for Adam and Eve losing Eden would be as if God stood on a shore in Eden and watched the two of them climb onto a ship and sail away. All he could do was know that they would come back someday. And I believe that his waiting continues all the way up to today. There was no punishment. He has just undying love for us. And as his creation, God honors our free will. So what's he going to do? He just simply continues to create, giving us a choice to either create alone through ego-driven thought, which currently will destroy us, or awaken back to him through our soul connection and create our world perfectly through him. Or in other words, permit him to manifest through us. From my encounter with that amazing being who contained not one iota of negativity, I feel confident in saying that if God created Adam and Eve, there is absolutely no way he ever would have punished or driven them from Eden. God simply spoke a truth about their new world perspective when they abandoned their souls for their awakening egos. Again, when Adam and Eve accepted their insistent and attractive ego without trusting their soul connection to God, they became dominated by doubt and fear. They consciously stepped away from understanding their sublime soul connection to God in their ability to create. In other words, their perfection and their soul connection to God became obscured by doubt. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I'm not smart enough. Oh, they said I couldn't do it, and you know what? They've got to be right. They know better than I do. Things like that. And understandably so, because the ego is a heady enticer, not only mentally, but physically. Ego-created doubts and fears generate adrenaline surges in the body, which become addictive. And I can guarantee that most people are unaware of this adrenaline addiction actively at use every day within their bodies. And guess what? We call this drama. I don't think I need to say any more. You get it. Now consider the possibility that since the ego first spoke within man's mind, creating the duality of good and evil, we have been fed misinformation about the existence of evil, when in truth, only good exists. I know that's a tough one to accept, but let me keep going. I believe we, as a species, created evil from fear rising in our own minds. We are so powerful, what we do create in our minds will come into fruition. And once separated from the soul connection with Eden, humanity felt frightened, naked, and separate. Think of the biblical rendition of the first children of Adam and Eve, the brothers Cain and Abel. Cain kills his brother out of jealousy. And when questioned as to his brother's whereabouts, he replies, "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's an ego-driven statement without a doubt, because the ego takes care of the self, which is not bad when controlled. I submit that the belief in lack initiated man's downfall from the beginning. Why? Because the belief in lack is mistaken thinking. There is no lack. Our fear of death has caused competition, hoarding, and greed. When the concept of abundance is embraced, we feel excited to know we are our own, each other's, and the planet's keepers, simply by being our pure and soulful selves. By manifesting our talents, who we were born to be, we bring that to the table, everybody brings what they have to the table, and suddenly we've got this tapestry going of perfection. When man was given dominion over the earth, the gift was a huge responsibility, requiring courage, truth, and love. Not a mindless rampage over the world to achieve what we want at all costs because humans are the highest order. That is ego thinking at its highest form. Returning to soul thinking will get us back on track. Simply stated, our unique talents across every culture are meant to work together to create abundance. The planet is perfectly capable to sustain each and every one of us Once we understand our own purpose on this earth, using our intellect to ignite our souls and control our egos, we'll achieve perfection in all aspects of our lives. And that's where I think including soul thinking to the creationism point of view will make our world a perfect place. Now let's briefly look at the Darwinian approach to human evolution. Now let's imagine the classic scientific portrait of man evolving from primate status, walking on feet and knuckles, to finally standing erect to how we are today. Now, while our human ancestors are said to have been around for nearly 6 million years, humans supposedly evolved around 200,000 years ago. History records the Stone Age at 60,000 BC, and civilization as we know it began about 6,000 years ago, a drop in the bucket. The Industrial Age began only a tad over 200 years ago. So much has changed for the better throughout the ages, yet so much physical, psychological, and spiritual debris lays in progress's wake. We hear enough on the news and in the media to know something is very wrong in the direction humanity is headed. And I think what was and continues to be the greatest downfall throughout all the ages is that fear remains the driving force behind all innovative and intellectual and spiritual and technological growth. Each age, while moving forward in man's development, systematically and consistently viewed the world through ego-based, fear-driven thought, which melded one era into the next by sacrificing lives and cultures of the less powerful to achieve dominance. And what was the motive? You may say power and wealth, but those motives boiled down simply to wanting to feel safe. Even today, the world's global powers are motivated to garner wealth over human welfare in order to feel safe. All in the name of progress. All in evolution. So it's all been ego-based driven motivation. Survive, survive, survive. We were not created to survive. We were created to enjoy, to live abundantly, and to absolutely get joy and delight from ourselves and each and every person we meet. And for me, the ego-driven evolution is the sadness behind the progress throughout the ages. Inventing, constructing, finding cures, financial acquisitions, all of these conducted through ego-driven thought create progress, but at a high price to humanity and the planet. Our eroding well-being is now visible with the fraying state of the earth. Never mind terrorism, political views, greed, cultural inequality, and starvation. If we deplete and destroy our planet resources, we won't have a planet to sustain near future generations, let alone maintain conflicts over diversifying beliefs. Now, please understand, I am not trying to instill fear here. No. My intention is to instill understanding of the truth and eliminate fear as a motivational tool. Fear and the need for survival brought the original humans from trees and caves to explore their world, but fear also supplied clubs and weapons turned on each other to survive. You know, explicit needs spawned new inventions, belief, cultural development. But many times, as I said, it was at the expense of fellow men, animals, and the planet. Everything wonderful in man's evolution continues to become tainted with the toxic byproducts of fear, pollution, persecution, crime, greed, disease. The more sophisticated humanity becomes with today's ego-driven thinking, the more danger rises among all the good accomplished. Take, for example, artificial intelligence. Create that behind ego-driven thinking. Or create that behind soul-driven thinking, and I'm sure the outcome will be exponentially different for our well-being and for the planet's well-being and for the continuation of us as a species. Look, ecologically, mounting islands of plastic floating in the oceans kill wildlife while threatening never to decompose. And plastics, while they were invented in the late 1800s, didn't become widespread in use until only about 60 years ago. And look at the trouble it's already causing. Why? We didn't think through a soul-based perspective in its creation and use. Locally, I cannot swim in the beautiful Indian River running along my current home because the pollution from sewerage and fertilizer runoff has tainted the water. And look at the continued use of fossil fuels that continue to decimate the air we breathe. Pesticides are killing not only us, but birds and our precious bees needed to pollinate our crops. We've got genetically modified foods and use biohazardous chemicals daily, not even thinking about it. Even preservatives in goods and foods are just a few more arrows in the sizable quiver of planetary destruction that we have created. And why? Once again, because we, as a species, evolved into daily activities from a fear-based, or worse, an unconscious worldview, carrying on without even understanding or caring about the ecological trauma we create. Now, let's say the ego, as a fear-motivated primitive tool for early humans, served its purpose during those formative years as a protection against, say, harsh climates, raiding tribes, and dangerous animals. As the centuries progressed and humanity evolved, so did the ego. Only the ego grew stronger when it should have quieted. But the ego, like the soul, is an entity within us that wishes to survive. And as I said before, the ego does so at the expense of its carrier, at the expense of the car it drives. And when the ego thinking floods masses of people, major destruction occurs. Think of the Crusades, slavery throughout man's history, the Holocaust. The ego was most certainly instrumental in encouraging the arrogance that expanded empires by dividing, conquering, and claiming ownership of unwilling dominions through violence and subjugation. And what really gets me is we recall these events as history. Yet empire after empire expired because they were founded on ego-driven violence and fear. And you know what? The same subjugation continues today as we evolve. And if not physically through war, then economically through commerce and education, with all the competition of who's smarter than whom, where it should be, what do you have to bring to the table and where can we put it? Where would you like it to go? Shall we not learn from history? I believe we are now at a point in our evolution where living an ego-driven life for survival is no longer in humanity's best interest. Our understanding of technology, economics, and medicine, just to name a few, should suffice in removing the terror of survival generated by the ego. Our intellect should be showing us that we can and may, if soul-driven, use what we know to create abundance for everybody. Ego-driven thinking has become a careening vehicle about to take humanity over the precipice of annihilation. And again, I'm not saying that out of fear. Look around you. Everybody's talking about it. Even, you know, people are writing post-apocalyptic novels now because they're expecting us to make a mess and they're going to have to rebuild from it. Soul thinking will halt that momentum. Now, from a Darwinian perspective, I believe, and I love this, I believe that humanity has evolved enough and become wise enough to recognize soul thinking as the answer to our continued coexistence with the earth. And the same goes with the creationist standpoint. We can turn evil off simply by using free will to control the ego and refuse to accept fear-based thinking, which initiated our quote-unquote fall from grace in the first place. It's as simple as that. Replace fear with curiosity. Replace animosity with love. Now, silencing the ego will take effort. But once one is aware of the internal chatter that consumes so much of our waking time when we are not focused, the ego becomes easy to address and silence. I think that unless an answer to a problem enhances our physical and spiritual world, the choice should be reconsidered over and over again until there is no negative impact. This is soul thinking. This is the approach so many of today's young entrepreneurs and inventors are asking today's leaders to employ. In fact, I think young thinkers are adapting the logic behind soul thinking into new technology, inventions, and solutions, many times not even knowing they are tapping soul thinking. And I believe we should listen to our children. They are soul evolving and smarter than we are in so many ways. I think that by investing in trust and instilling a belief that everything works out because everything does, results will be achieved universally and with excitement and success. By eliminating fear and trusting in understanding, the earth will reappear as the Garden of Eden she is and always was. Just look at a photo of the planet taken from space. The earth is a phenomenon. And time has come to change history for ourselves, for future generations, and for the planet by calming the ego and employing soul thinking to reconnect with creation. I believe that's why we were born. We have it within us. Simply switching gears to soul thinking will initiate solutions to overcome all existing adversities with today's technology, global trade, and community awareness, be it across the street or across the planet. Now, I'm sure all of this rhetoric isn't new to you, but I'm thinking that perhaps opening your eyes to the awareness that ego-driven fear propels the wrong decisions in our world may be new information. And I want to say once more that by engaging the soul to participate in every single decision we make as individuals, even in conducting conversation with somebody you love, will halt the downward spiral so shockingly fast. The first challenge will be in getting folks to tap into their souls. Given the centuries of history behind humanity functioning from an ego-driven worldview, the task seems nearly impossible, especially since the soul is intangible. But I submit that the ego, which has been accepted and described in so many psychological papers, is also intangible. And for reasons I can't fathom, the soul has been ignored, while the ego's been given all this attention. I believe that on an evolutionary level, we have arrived. I believe humanity has evolved enough that fear is no longer necessary as a tool for survival. As a species, soul thinking is our new evolution. And once soul thinking is employed, fear will dissolve. There will be no need for fear. Think about it. If you're curious instead of frightened, is there going to be fear there? No. There's going to be conversation. There's going to be investigation. And it'll all produce goodness. Fear will dissolve with soul thinking. And all aspects of living will make sense. And what will the results be? An exciting, abundant, and generous world where each of us, simply by being who we are, combine our talents to create meaningful and joy-filled lives, which is why we were born on this jewel of a planet in the first place. I would love for you to think about this. And try it now. Quiet your mind, even if for a few seconds after listening to this podcast. And in the silence, greet your soul and simply feel. You will sense the calm. And from this point of stillness and calm, your ability to create flows strongest. Your soul is always listening, always waiting to work for you. And you will soon learn to recognize soul-driven answers that arrive from soul-driven inquiry. Use your education. Use your inborn talents. Use your personality. Then instill faith in the power of the soul and you will have all you need. Any hardship will take on a new meaning for learning, and abundance will come. And even after a while, hardships won't exist because we will be able to nip them in the bud just by going, wait a minute, don't be afraid. This is a challenge. Let's make it work. Bam. I see soul-filled results daily, and I continue to be surprised every time I receive an answer. And all I keep saying over and over and over again is, what a gift. Okay, so I think I'll stop here. And I want to thank you once more for taking the time from your busy day to consider my thoughts. And I'd love to hear from you, so please don't hesitate to email me with any comments or questions. And you can reach me at soskathleenann@gmail.com. Until then, I invite you to greet each other through the eyes of your soul. And I can promise you, you will see more than you ever expected. Thanks again for listening in. Bye for now.